Hi everybody, and welcome to another episode in our GSC Rude Mechanicals interviews. This is where we have a chat with one of the members of our artistic teams, the people who bring the magic to life on stage, the directors, the designers, the stage management teams, and everybody else involved behind the scenes, as it were. And today we're incredibly fortunate and incredibly excited to speak to the one and only remarkable Elaine Young, our Deputy stage manager?
Stage manager. Well, most of the time I work for you as a deputy stage manager.
That's true. So, Elaine, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Matt. You know, like everyone else, lockdown has been up and down, but we keep going.
Absolutely. Now, we were just chatting before we started this interview, and this is your 10th anniversary year with GSC. You started with us in 2010.
Yes, I did. At the very first winter production of Romeo and Juliet.
Wow! And that was that the beginning of your career, or were you sort of?
I think I was maybe about 3-4 years into my career, but more of the sense that, well, full time probably 2 years into my career.
Okay.
Because I was still doing a part time degree when I first started my career.
Right, I see. So let's start at the beginning then. How did you end up in stage? Because I know that you've done work all over the world and all over the country, but the UK. But how did you start in stage management? What's the backstory to Elaine Young?
Well, I'm from Hong Kong originally, and so when I started, like a lot of Chinese kids, we do a lot of after school activity because the parents just want us to learn everything. So I did ballet, I did singing, I did piano when I was very little. I think I started ballet when I was 3. So I started in school's production when I was about, I think, 6 or 7, maybe even earlier, as like a dancer, because, you know, if you got that skills, people challenge you into it. But I distinctly remember when I was about 8, in the school production, staring into the side and seeing the teacher like controlling and speaking to everyone about how things need to go, and like in the rehearsal, and I think I was dressed as a snowman doing pirouette, as you do, and I nearly spin into the pit because I was so fascinated with what she does. So when I got into secondary school, I switched from acting to backstage, because like you're now a little bit more grown up and you're allowed to touch things. And then decided that I will go to the UK for sixth form in order to go into drama school to be stage manager.
Hey! And where did you go? And you trained very locally?
Yes, I went to Guildford School of Acting, like many other stage managers in your company.
That's right. We've got many GSA alumni with us. So how did you end up finding out about GSC? Sorry, how about us?
GSC. So I went to college with Kerry Driscoll, who's now the company manager at Watermill, and she was one of the stage managers that worked with you guys from the very early days.
Yeah.
Probably one of your first stage managers, or like.
Yeah, I think Kerry started with us in 2008. I think it was our third year, I think.
Yeah. So and so because we are really good friends, I always come to see your shows, and. Yeah, when she couldn't do the winter season, I became your winter season stage manager that year.
That's right. And then tell us what, I mean, obviously, you know, we'll talk a little bit about GSC in a minute and the stuff you've done with us, but tell us, can you share a little bit about your work, you know, other than GSC? Because I know it's been all over the world and you've done some amazing jobs, incredible things.
My career has been quite varied, and I've been really lucky to stick with directors that want to use me again, because for people that don't know, the deputy stage manager work with the director really closely in rehearsal, almost like their secretary, their right hand person. I work with Nikolai Foster, the artistic director of Curve, a lot, so this is predate his time from Curve and also from the time that he became artistic director. So I work at Curve a lot, which took me to South Korea and amazing places around the country. I work with Michael Harrison Entertainment and Kudos Entertainment a lot. I think this is my 12 years with them.
Wow.
So I do various musicals and also pantomime, including the Palladium pantomimes with them.
That's the London Palladium pantomime.
Yeah. So I did 2 years of that. I work with like other scale, like Watermill or like Global Creatures, which do tours, national tours for Global Creatures, and also Strictly Ballroom in London. And I also work for opera. So I did Opera Holland Park for 4 seasons, and I've been at Royal Opera House for a couple of seasons too.
Wow, so incredibly, incredibly varied. We'll talk a little bit about what a deputy stage manager does in a moment, because that's, I'm sure that's fascinating for people to know about. But I mean, what a breadth of work you've worked with. You know, from opera to Christmas pantos, but Christmas pantos in small towns, to the London Palladium, and then to GSC, to South Korea. I mean, what a huge mix. And I bet every job is different, right?
Oh, every job is very different. You never know what you're stepping into until you get there. Or 2 weeks into it.
So, Elaine, you said that the DSM, as we call them in theatre, a DSM, a deputy stage manager, is a little bit like the director's sort of secretary or right hand. Are you able to explain a little bit more about sort of about the process that the DSM goes through and what their roles are?
Sure. So in a stage management team, the DSM is the one that sits in rehearsal. So not the whole team would sit in rehearsal. So assistant stage manager would be responsible for sourcing props and looking after in the wings during a performance. For deputy stage manager, you're in rehearsal in order to know the show the best in terms of all the blockings, in terms of... In many ways, the intentions as well. Like, a lot of people think that we don't care about intentions. But in order to know whether things are safe or things are making sense, or in order to know why certain actors have to make changes during a performance, you need to know the intentions. And therefore, that person is in rehearsal room a lot with the directors. So we are involved from day dot of rehearsal, from the read-through, from... sometimes even from the prep, especially new writing, you'll be involved in the workshop stage of a lot of shows. So you know the script the best. You prompt the actors in rehearsal when they don't know their lines, because they are trying to act and they're trying to concentrate a lot of things without the script on their hands. And I got the script in front of me. Therefore, it's just a little helping hands of going, this is what happens. Director not always will write down everything that happened in the show. So an actor might come up to you and goes, I can't remember which door I came through and stuff like that. So it's all written down in my, what we call prompt copy, the show Bible. And then from that, we take it into a technical rehearsal in order to put the lightings in the right place, sound effect at the right place. And during the show, I will be calling the show. Think of me like an air traffic controller of going what needs to happen at what time or to where. And it's different scales whether you operate or not as a DSM, but you're the one ultimately have the eagle eye on the whole show to go, this needs to happen then, and this needs to happen then. And also to change things if actors change things or if situation means that we need to adapt things. Therefore, you would not call, for example, a truck to move if an actor haven't moved, because you will crush them.
Yeah.
But the actor might not have moved because something has happened in front of them and they can't move. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's in a nutshell what a deputy stage manager do.
So yeah, I mean, it's massive. You know, when you describe it like that, I've got an image of you like with loads and loads of levers and buttons and like, you know, like not like you're a puppet master, but you're kind of like the sort of, you know, in control of every department, if you like, on during the show. Certainly it's that live quality of, you know, and I know we've been through shows where things have gone wrong or you know, mistakes happen, or and suddenly, you know, the communication that has to come from you onto the on stage stage management, because sometimes you're not on the stage or backstage. You could be in front of us. But then at the same time in rehearsals, it's also about, you know, that communication between departments. So, you know, all of a sudden an actor and a director says, oh, what if I had a walking stick in this? Or what if I had a mug at this point? And it's your job then to make a note of that, get it to the props team. Have we got the mug yet? And stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like, you know, my job is, like you said, is to liaise with a lot of department, and that happens in rehearsal, pre-production, and also into the show. And we all have different responsibility in the stage management team. So like, for example, as a DSM, I might not be as clear with the designer's vision as my assistant stage manager would be, because they are the one that looking for that mug that would suit the production, whereas for me, I know I need a mug.
Yeah.
So we all have very different responsibility in that sense.
And I suppose as well, you know, again, you talk about the Bible, you know, the prompt copy, your book, but that also, I know from our point of view, it also traces where props and costumes go. So for us, for example, you know, we have casts of between 5 and 11 cast members, but quite often we're playing double parts, so you know, you're tracking where that person's costume has gone last, or well, you can't go off stage left and around the back of the castle because your costume is going to be up in the yard. And so you're keeping a track of everything that happens moment by moment.
Yeah, that's kind of like something that I really love doing. I'm a little bit of a geek in the sense that I love paperwork, and I think a lot of DSMs are, and we like making charts and stuff like that. So sometimes the actors goes, oh my goodness, this is like more advanced than my A-level maths of what you go. And I'm like, yes, but it makes sense.
Yeah, because there's some... You know, also, I mean, when we come to do tech, I know as well that when we come to do, you know, when we're in the show, it's your responsibility to lead, you know, like the fight warm up, or the dance warm up, and so on, so that, you know, we all group together at the, you know, sort of an hour before the show starts to run through the fight sequence, and you're there on stage monitoring. So you even know the moves of the fights as well as, you know, where we all stand on stage and the lighting and everything. Can you explain a little bit about your about the Bible, about the book that you have? Because I've seen them and they look like, you know, you're like you're writing in secret code. but it's all got you, and you give everybody different sort of labels and there's codes for bits and bobs. How does the book work?
The book have absolutely every single person's move and every furniture's move in it. So for us, we need to write very fast in rehearsal because it's not just one person moving, is it? Like most of the time, it's like 3 or 4 people moving, especially when you're trying to write down a dance sequence. So we have shorthands, like you said, a code. So for example, let's say puck. I wouldn't write puck walk across the street. Mm-hmm. I say P with a letter cross.
Right.
And then the location of it, because I don't have time to write out the whole sentence.
Okay.
A lot of the time I draw a heart, which it's come from more musical theatre and opera, which is the chorus. So it's the ensemble. So if the whole company is moving stage right in the dance, all I need to do is a heart, an SR, and I know that everyone have gone stage right.
Okay,
which means
that's interesting.
I don't need to draw 5 stick men. That which is a lot easier when you've got a big company, especially 2 blocks.
Yeah, so I mean, from that point of view, you know, is that, I mean, and like we said there early on, you know, you've done a huge, varied amount of work, you know, from operas to open air theatre with us to, you know, a West End panto and stuff. Is it every job, you know, the basics are the same, but is there a lot of is actually everything's just the same, it's just a slightly different scale, or are there huge variations in your job between those?
I think as a deputy stage manager, your role varies the least out of all the stage managers in different scenario, because you're still in rehearsal, you're still writing down what things happen, and in show condition you're still the one that be the traffic controller. That changes very little in the basic, but it varies in terms of the scale, because obviously with a bigger team you do some things slightly differently, you don't like divide your job slightly differently, and in opera is a completely different world anyway, in terms of how we do things. And I think it is different, and it's not, if that's clear as mud, that, you know, like musical, ballet and opera, you a lot of the time the flexibility is a lot less within the structure, whereas doing Shakespeare, doing new writing, the scope is huge and massive, so you do things slightly differently.
Okay, interesting. So so with Ask, I mean, the work, you know, the job, you know, obviously a lot of those shows that you've been doing there are in purpose-built theatres, 100-year-old theatres or brand new theatres, whatever. For GSC, you know, we can be in all sorts of different venues. What's that like from a DSM's point of view? Does that make life harder, easier? Is it an interesting challenge? What's your thoughts on that?
Many ways it's harder, and it's a lot more challenging. It makes you engage your brain a lot more, because you are being hit with a lot of other variations, in a slightly responsive capacity. So you need to be a lot more adaptive, if that's the right word to use, because you've got, you know, there are, from stage management point of view, you've got very strange storage spaces. You can't, you know, you need to make things work. And I think that's the joy of a site-specific or site-responsive show, is that you need to make things work. That's what challenged our brain. On a team with a site-responsive show, you are a lot more of a community that you need to work together, between actors and stage management. There's no you do this and I do that, really. You have to muck in and do it together. The variation goes from weather, you know, as soon as it decides to rain or it decides to be really, really hot, surprisingly, they throw different challenges at you that you don't necessarily account for in a theatre. The irregular dimensions of a stage, like you suddenly realise that a regular piece of staging can't fit there because there's a tree. And things like that, and you just need to be really adaptive and crazy operation position as a DSM. I've never in a million years would have thought that I'm operating under a tree in a shed in my life before. But yeah, things like that happen.
Well, I mean, that's a very good point. You know, like you were just saying, that you've got your codes, for example, in your book, which are like industry, you know, regulatory kind of ways of talking about the onstage setup, but of course, you know, in the open air, we don't have the regulatory wing space, or well, not regulatory, but the normal wing space, or upstage, downstage. So I suppose you've got to create a whole new language for how you talk, or how you look at the set and the show and the staging, I suppose.
Yeah. So instead of dividing it downstage, upstage, which I still use in order to know my direction. A lot of the time in my book, at the very beginning of a site-responsive show, there would be the drawing of the whole set, whether it involved three sites across or just involved the church altar. It doesn't matter, as long as there's action going. Yeah. It will be in my book. So taking Merry Wives of Windsor this summer as an example, Woodland at the very far end, when we go there, very end, that is still in my beginning of my book, because then I labelled the areas rather than upstage, downstage.
Right.
So, for example, the pub would be area A. Lady Mistress Page would be area B, and things like that to
make it more
readable. Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Well, now that's a very useful little segue onto your experiences with GSC. So Like you just said, I mean, they have been very, very different. I mean, obviously, well, last summer we had The Merry Wives of Windsor, where we had a live train in it. We've had, what else have you done with this? You did our first Macbeth?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Which was in the round in the middle of the church.
Yeah.
What are the other? I'm just trying to rack my brains for the other ones.
I did Hamlet. I did 12 Nights. Midsummer.
Yes, in 20...
Do you like it?
Which was that 2017? No.
Yes, I think so.
Yep.
And this... The one that Louise and Katie did.
Yes. That's right,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, if you like it, Hamlet... I came in and covered Othello or King Lear, one of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness. So you've done, I mean, God, there's so many anecdotes. We could be here all night with all the crazy craziness. But is there what things stick in your mind? You know, when you think GSC or you get the phone call from Sarah saying, "Are you free?" What goes through your mind? What are the memories that stick there for you?
Well, if it's the summer season, the phone call goes, "Are you free?" I'll be like, "Hang on, let me just find my waterproof and my umbrella and sunblock." If it's a winter season, I go, "Have I got enough layers?" No, those are very much weather dependent. I think every show that I do with GSE, there are different things that are memorable. And like you said, that, you know, we could be here all night. Each time I think we manage to solve a challenge, it gives me a little buzz. You can never beat your first experience, I think. And for me, Romeo and Juliet, the first year of us as a team, the first time I worked with you and Sarah, the first time I worked with the company, the first time you guys threw a show indoor. In the winter season, I think we learned a lot together, that show, and it became a very special show to me. And because that show, with it being a learning curve, we were on such a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
And for us to achieve the amount that we have achieved, now looking back, you kind of go, that was a very small scale show compared to your second version of Macbeth.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, not Macbeth, sorry, Romeo and Juliet. And you still kind of go, but we achieved a hell of a lot with what we were given and what we have with, you know, in a team of, I think, stage management at that time was two.
Yep.
And we didn't have a lot of the things that we now have. We didn't learn about the building's electricity distribution at that time.
Yeah.
So all of that became such a minefield, and for me, that was the most special show.
Oh, well, I think you said about the team bit, and I think there's something that is, something that Sarah and I are always immensely proud of, and one of the many things, but certainly one of the top things that we always relish every time a company comes together is that team, that family team spirit that sort of pervades the companies, and that really comes from everybody. It's not just the people on stage that the audience can see. And I think when you're involved in a show, Elaine, there's such a warmth of feeling that you've got our backs, we're safe with you, you really put your all into the company. It's such a happy experience when you're with us, and I think that transcends onto stage. But also the fun that we have. I mean, this summer just gone, oh my word, the heat in Merry Wives of Windsor, and then the day that you arrived with a paddling pool for all the actors there to have in the dressing room for us to stick our feet in the interval was like, oh, it's a godsend. Oh, thank you.
I think it's really important that regardless of the size of your show, you need to be a family, because you are being stuck together for crazy long hours. Like, none of us ever do theatre because of money, you know. It's such a common saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like, I always strive as a stage manager to create a safe, not just physical safe, but like mentally safe environment for everyone that is working on, because I think it's really important when you're spending that many hours with someone
that
you can feel at home and relax, because if we are not relaxed, if we're not at ease with each other, we can't do our best work.
Yeah, and also it's you know, with the open air, as we any show, but particularly with site responsive stuff, there's stuff that is going to come up that you don't expect. So for example, you know, we're all very prepared for the amount of rain that is could yes. come in a summer, but not necessarily for the amount of heat. And of course heat does, you know, computers and laptops and all the tech do not work equally well with heat. So I remember again with Mary White, it was so hot that everything just stopped, because the processors in the laptops and the soundboards and stuff just wouldn't go.
Yeah, we were recording in the shed that I operated. I think one day Beth and I recorded 42 degrees in the shed because of the amount of equipment that was sitting with me. I mean, if I was in a control room that the audience can't see me, I would probably be in my bikini by that point. It was so hot. I mean, I went on holiday afterwards and it wasn't that hot.
Well, I remember you had so many fans. We had so many fans in that room, keeping everything cool.
We end up having to turn some of it off because fan also generate heat.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
You know, and like there was Beth and I with Program trying to fan the processor the day that everything crashed, because we're like, what do we do?
Yeah.
We can't pour water to cool it down.
Yeah, and you're trying to, and then at the same time you're trying to call a train which gets stuck halfway around a track, and
yes.
you've got no, and unlike in normal theatre, there's no wing space where the stage manager can call to the actors on stage or can communicate to them, because you're behind the audience, and there's no wing space. So how do you tell the actors that you've just got to keep ad-libbing or keep going until the train arrives, or the cast have got to get off the train, or whatever?
I mean, a lot of time we rely on you guys to just know how to get yourself out of trouble. But you know, the hand signal of a lot of it come back to what I say about being a traffic coordinator, because a lot of it come back to hand signal of a giant X means stop, we are stopping the show, or like, you know, keep going in a circle of telling people to ad-lib. Or like, if we need to move on, I point at my watch.
Right, move on. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, all of those interesting things. And, you know, when you kind of go, and I remember the summer also was the interesting thing, you're talking about the paddling pool. One of our actors at Beginners go, I can't find my costume. And I had to run all the way back to the paddling pool because he's obviously taking it off so that it doesn't get wet. Like, you bring something in and something gets taken away from you.
Oh, dear me. And well, and also, you know, rehearsals are just such fun so often, you know, with dance.
Innuendo Bell. I would never forget Innuendo Bell. You guys are all such games.
Yes, we should explain what Innuendo Bell is. It's a little old fashioned hotel reception bell, like a ding ding. And every time someone has some sort of innuendo, whether it's meant or not, Elaine has a little bell, and we kind of judge how many times the bell goes off in a day. Usually the bell goes off more when we're doing sort of choreography for some reason.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, you and Sarah should know, that shouldn't put Chris Whitaker and me in the same room. We become children. and in a way, I think, you know, Chris and I have the same kind of ethos in the sense that everyone needs to feel comfortable. And we acknowledge that movement or dance might not be something that you guys do a lot.
I'm not with a musical where
from his point of view, you know, it's not like musicals, you just expect to dance, whereas actors sometimes are less used to having to do the things that we ask them to do. So we put little silly things in to make us look silly, and well, we also enjoy it, but to also make everyone feel more relaxed.
Oh, such happy days. Happy reminiscing days.
Happy company.
Elaine, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you and for you to share your thoughts and how a DSM, you know, operates and many of the challenges that you have. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
See you soon.
See ya.